It's a great privilege for me to welcome everyone towards the end of the day and express my personal thanks to all the organizers of the Yom Iyun who worked so diligently to bring another Yom Torah, Yom Talmud Torah, to our community, and all those who participated get a big Yashar Koach. This afternoon's topic, the first principle, Yichud Hashem, is actually a misnomer. It's really the second principle. The first principle is Lahamin Bamitas Habore. The second Iker of the Rambam is Yichud Hashem. So that's not the point of the shir. But in terms of understanding Yichud Hashem, it's probably one of the most significant aspects of our intellectual lives that we pay little attention to. We say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, God is one, but without fully pondering or contemplating what it means that Hashem is Echad. How is God quantified in any sense? How does a number relate to Hashem? So we have phrases that we use, Ein Yochad Ki Yichudo. There's no unity like His unity. But we lack, I believe, a full understanding of these ideas, or perhaps better said, the true import of the ideas rarely penetrates us, and therefore we have that deficiency or gap in our understanding of one of the most important ideas of the Torah, the idea which really makes us a unique people. I can't think of a better individual to discuss this area of Yichud Hashem than my revered Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Chait. Rabbi Chait has, for those of you who are hearing him for the first time, a very unique and eclectic background, a Talmud at various times of Rabbi David Leibowitz, of Aaron Cutler, a Musmuch of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, a close Talmud of the Rav. I don't think there are many individuals who have such a varied background in terms of Talmud Torah, nor exposure like that to the Gedolim of the past generation. I am fortunate to be a Talmud of Rabbi Chait now almost 17 years, and in that time I can attest myself, and at this point offer Hakara Satov, for the way that my ideas and my Hashkof HaSachayim was shaped by my involvement in Yeshiva B'nai Torah and my study at the feet of Rav Chait. He's an outstanding Talmud Chacham, a person who has a unique ability to convey the most complex ideas in ways that are understandable to laymen as well as to Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore, it's a great schus that we have him in our community this afternoon, and it's a great personal honor and privilege for me to present Mori Varabi, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas B'nai Torah in Far Rockaway, Rav Yisrael Chait.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Brzezinski, and it's a pleasure to be here. I think it's a wonderful thing to have a Yom HaIyun and people that really dedicate themselves to Talmud Torah in this fashion, to carve out a day that's dedicated completely to an in-depth understanding of Torah, analysis of Torah, and that type of involvement, rather than just simply, you know, being involved in Talmud Torah in a superficial way. This is really a very, very encouraging type of thing to see. So, especially Rosh Chodesh, I want to wish everybody a good Chodesh and should continue in the derech that the Chodesh began in. I would like to maybe just make a little change in terms of the topic that I would like to get to Yichud Hashem. But the what I would like to get to in Yichud Hashem is to start with the very beginning of the concept of Yichud Hashem and the fundamental of fundamentals, Leida Sheyeshom Elakam Motzui, the knowledge of the existence of God, and historically how that started with our nation from Avram Avinu. So really, it's my shir is Yichud Hashem and the mitzvah of Yediyah Sheyesh Yediyas Hashem, but in the framework of the background of Avram Avinu. And What I'd like to start with is a little bit of halacha first, and that is the Rambam, which I mentioned, the Rambam at the in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Tes. Hilchos Melachim Perek Tes. First, I want to do a little bit of halacha, then we'll get into the philosophy. In Hilchos Melachim Perek Tes, the Rambam states the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. He mentions the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And he starts off by saying that Adam HaRishon received six of the Sheva Mitzvos, and the Rambam enumerates what they are. That's Avodah Zorah, and Birkas Hashem, Shvichas Domim, Gilui Arayos, Gezo, and Dinim. Okay. I think everybody's familiar with the basic six, and I'm not going to go in detail right now into what the six are. But the Rambam enumerates them, and then he says, Afal pisha kulon in Kabbalah b'yadeinu v'moshe Rabbeinu, even though we know these six were received, that Adam HaRishon was commanded to keep these six, he says, v'adas not Elohen, strange phrase, he says also, that it would seem to be something which intellectually a person would somehow agree with the idea of these six. He says, nevertheless, meklal divrei Torah yira shal al elun etstava. But from the psukim themselves, it would appear that he was commanded with regard to these six. Those phrases of the Rambam, I mean, the last two phrases of the Rambam are a bit difficult, and perhaps we'll come back to them later. The first aspect where he says, Adas not Elohim, he would seem to say that this is something which a person would agree with. His sense, his intuition would be in line with this idea. But right before that, he said it's a Kabbalah for Moshe Rabbeinu. Once it's a Kabbalah for Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no need to say that it's something that we would agree with. We have a Kabbalah for Moshe Rabbeinu, that would seem to be the final word and wouldn't have to go any further. To add even more to the difficulty, the Rambam immediately before says, in the end of the last paragraph, he says that if a guy accepts Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach because of Hechra Hadas, because he simply likes them, his intellectually, intuitively, he feels they're correct, he says that is not really a true Ben Noach. He says such a person is not a Ger Toshav, and he's not even considered from Hasidi Umas Olam, because he must accept it because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu received it at Sinai. So here the Rambam seems to be contradicting himself. That's one problem in this Rambam. And then secondly, why did the Rambam have to mention that it would appear in the Klal Divrei HaTorah that these six were commanded to Adam? Okay, it's very nice, but what is he trying to tell us with that? Let's go a little bit further. The Rambam says, Hosef Noach Eiver Menachai. He added, when Noach came into the picture, so he added another mitzvah. That's Eiver Menachai. Shenema Ach Bosa Benafsho Doma Lo Sochelo. Nimtza Sheva Mitzvah. So it comes out that there are seven mitzvahs. The six he previously mentioned, Gili Araya Shvichas Dom Mavor Zorah, and then now you have Eiver Menachai, which is the new one. And then you have Birkas Hashem and Gezel and Dinim. So it comes out to seven. Fine. This is something which I think everybody is up to here. I mean, everybody is familiar with this concept. But then the Rambam goes on, takes off on his own. He says, V'chein ad hoya dova ba'olam ad Avraham. Till Avraham Avinu, that's the way the world was, insofar as mitzvahs are concerned. Bo Avram v'nitztave yeser aleilu b'mila. So Avram came and he was commanded on an additional mitzvah of mila. V'hu ispal shachas. And Avram Avinu was the one that introduced the idea of being mispal of davening shachas. The Yitzchak came along and hifrish masa. And he instituted the idea of giving 10% tzedakah, maisa. Take maisa from the tefillah. And to give maisa to aniyim or to Torah, v'hosif tefillah acheres lefnos hayom, and he added another tefillah towards afternoon, which is tefillas mincha. Then he says v'Yaakov hosif gidon asher, and Yaakov added the mitzvah of gidon asher, v'espalo arvus, And he also introduced the idea of Tfilas Arvus. And then he continues, he says, U'b'mitzrayim nitztava Amram b'mitzvah siseros. And in Egypt, Amram was commanded on with regard to additional mitzvos. What those are, we don't really know exactly, but at any rate, the Rambam tells us there were additional mitzvos. And then he says, Atshe bo Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlam haTorah al yado. And here is the difficulty, the most essential difficulty in this Rambam, where he says, till Moshe Rabbeinu came along, and the Torah was completed through Moshe. Okay? The implication that we get, that we receive from the Rambam, from the Rambam, is that the Torah is a progressive kind of, mitzvos is a progressive kind of a situation. It starts off with six, then Noah comes into the picture, and you have a seventh, then you have Avram, you have Milah, then Avram was Misakein Tfilas Shacharis, and then Yitzchak Avinu comes, and he adds Tfilas Mincha and Meiser. Yaakov adds Gid HaNosheh, new mitzvah that Yaakov decided is necessary. And then you have Amram, and then Moshe Rabbeinu came along and completed the Torah. Till we have 613. That's the implication from the Rambam. So mitzvah seem to be like a progressive kind of a system. Okay. So that is that concept, that mitzvahs are a progressive system, is in direct conflict with one of the principles that the Rambam states in the Pirush Mishnayos and also in the Yad HaChazaka. Let me just see where they. The Rambam, and that's on page 2 in the Maariv Hakamos. So the Mishnah is discussing the mitzvah of Gid HaNosheh. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says that it's noig bat tahora v'ena noig bat tmeah. That the iser of Gid HaNosheh, of eating the Gid HaNosheh, is only by an animal which is kosher and not by an animal that's not kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Batmea. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, even if a person would eat an animal that's non-kosher, he'll still violate the if he eats the Gid HaNosheh, okay, the sciatica nerve, then he will also violate that Isser as well. So the Mishnah says, V'alo Mibnei Yaakov Nesa Gid HaNosheh, V'adayin Behemot Tamea Muteres Lohen. If you look at the source, the Mishnah says, of Gid HaNosheh, so it was at the time of Yaakov Avinu. And at that time, there was no prohibition against the animals that are non-kosher. So therefore, it would seem that the mitzvah, in its original form, included not just kosher animals, but non-kosher as well. So Amru Lo, so they said to him, B'Sinai Ne'emar, Elo Shenichtav B'Mkama, that really it was, the mitzvah was given at Sinai, but it was placed back to, in its original place in the Sefer Bereishis, because that was the reason, the origin for the mitzvah. Now the Rambam says, the Rambam explains exactly what that means. Rambam says like this. He says, the similar libcho l'klal agad lazeh. He says, this important principle that the Mishnah is telling us is something that you really have to take serious note of. He says, "Vu Amram b'Sinai nema," and he says the Mishnah says that mitzvahs were given at Sinai. Vuhu, what does that mean? Shata tzorach l'das yakol ma she'onu nizhar mimenu al osim oso hayom. Anything that we do today, any mitzvah that we do today, ain't on a osim zos element neitzivu Hashem al yedei Moshe. The only reason we do it is because God commanded Moshe, and He told him to command us to do this. Lo mipnei she'Hashem tziva b'kach l'neviim shekadmu, not because God gave this commandment to previous neviim, like for instance Noach. He says, "Dugma l'kach, einanu ochlim eiv menachai." Lo mipnei she'Hashem osar al b'nei Noach eiv menachai, not because Noach received through nevuah the fact that you're not allowed to eat eiv menachai. Elo, mitnei she Moshe osar lano eiv menachai. The reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu asserted. He told us that God does not want us to eat Avim and Achai. B'mashin etztava b'sinai. Sheyishor Avim and Achai asserted. That we are not permitted to eat Avim and Achai. V'chein ein anu malim beglal shel Avram moles atzma v'anshe besa. We don't do the mitzvah of Mila because Avram Avinu was instructed by God to perform Mila for himself and for his entire family. Elom neish Hashem tzivon alidei Moshe lehimo. K'moshe mol Avram mol avashalom. He says the only reason we do it is because Moshe Rabbeinu received at Sinai the commandment of the mitzvah of Mila. It's not because Yaakov Avinu said that we're not allowed to eat Gid Anoshe. It's because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu received this commandment from Sinai. Halo Tira. I can prove this, he says. Omram, Sheish Meos Vesholosh Esrei Mitzvos, Tayag Mitzvos, Nemrul Ola Moshe B'Sinai. You see, we say that Tayag Mitzvos are given at Sinai. He says, V'chol Eila Meklala Mitzvos. And all these are part of the Tayag. So if you're going to say that the reason why we do Mila is because of Avram Avinu, so then it's going to come out that that was a mitzvah that was from before. So then at Sinai, you'd be missing one. So you couldn't say Tayag. And the same thing will be true of all the other ones. And it will come out, you'll never have a minyan Tayag. So therefore, the statement of Chazal, that the famous statement, Tayag Mitzvos Nemrul Ola Moshe M'Sinai, would not be true. So therefore, the Rambam says, this principle is one that's inviolable. It's one you must always remember, that everything that we do only because of Sinai, and not because of anything that happened before. And basically, the Rambam has that principle in the Yad HaChazaka as well, where he discusses the idea of Avelus, right in the very beginning of Hilchas Avel. Do I have that in the Maramakamas? First page? Okay. He says, Mitzvah Saseh L'Sabal Ola Krovim, Shenema, V'ochalti Chata Sayom Ayita Veni Hashem. So he quotes from Vayikra, Vein Avelus Menatora Lo B'Yom Rishon Bovad. Only the first day is really a din of Avelus that's recognized from the Torah. Shehu Yom HaMisa V'Yom HaKvura. Avol She'or HaShiva Yomim, the other 7 days, ain't no din Torah. It's not recognized by the Torah. Even though it says by Yosef that he instituted a velus for 7 days, nitna Torah v'neschat shalocha. The Torah was given, and it's a new system. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun hamil yisrael shivas mei velus shivas mei mishnah. Moshe Rabbeinu came and made his own takana, but that's a drabonim. That's not a law of the Torah. So, therefore, again, the Rambam corroborates what he says in the Pirush HaMishnayos, which is, namely, that everything that we do for only one reason, because it was given at Sinai and not because of anything else. So the Rambam that we just discussed would seem to be going against that. His whole order here, where he says that first it started with 6 by Adam HaRishon, then it became 7 by Noach, and then there were more Avram, and then Gid Anoshe he mentions, and he says, until Moshe Rabbeinu came, and he completed the Torah, which is exactly the opposite of what he's saying here. That it's not a completion process, because it's Tayag. It must be 613. And Moshe Rabbeinu can come along and just complement the mitzvahs that were given before. But on the contrary, it was a whole re-establishment of the system of Tayyat, and everything happened before was completely invalidated. So that is the major difficulty in this Rambam. There is one more difficulty as well, and that difficulty is based on a Rambam which I may not have given in the Maamakamos, but it's the it's the where the Rambam mentions it's in Perek Yud Halacha Tes. I don't know if I gave that one. Yes? Oh, okay. Got it? The extra sheet? Oh, okay. There, okay, good. Goy she'osak b'torah chayiv misa. It means a Gentile that learns Torah is worthy of Misa, worthy of being put to death. Lo yasak el b'shev mitzvah shel bohem bovad. He can only engage in the seven mitzvahs. Now, I just want to elaborate a bit on that, because the halacha really is, the Meiri mentions, and there's no reason to assume the Rambam does not agree, the Meiri mentions that, you know, the Rambam himself states that a guy can do any mitzvah he wishes, if he wishes to accept the mitzvah upon himself. Like, for instance, if a guy will want to put on tefillin, so a guy has a right to do that, because if he does it, he does like an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, and he has a right to do it, and he receives reward, but his reward is Schar Mitzvah, like an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, like a person who isn't obligated to do a mitzvah. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara. Some we hold that person that's a mitzvah v'yos has a greater schar, but he still receives schar for doing it, and it will be similar to an isha that's an ena mitzvah v'yosu with regard to mitzvah seishes man grama, and she does it. So the halacha is that the guy has a right to do mitzvahs. Now, the Meiri says that whenever he wishes to do a mitzvah, it simply makes sense to say that he has a right to learn that mitzvah, the Torah that has to do with that mitzvah, because otherwise it's not possible to do the mitzvah. So therefore, we should assume when the Rambam says that the guy should only study the seven mitzvahs, so the Meiri qualifies that, and he says that means only if he is not doing, he doesn't accept to do any other mitzvah. But any mitzvah he accepts, of course, he has a right to learn. The basic halacha is that he cannot just learn something just because intellectually it's attractive to him and that it has no validity in practice. That's the basic idea. So the Rambam states that, and then he says like this, V'chein goyish ha-shavas afilu biyomi mosachol imasa'ol atzmo kumo shabbos is chayav misa. If a Gentile should keep Shabbos, so then again he is chayav misa. It doesn't mean that the Bezdin gives him misa, but it means it's a serious, very serious offense in the eyes of God. He's chayav misa. The ain tzorach lomar, he says, m'osam moi latzmo, if he makes a holiday for himself. Klolo shel dovar imanich nosom lachadish dos v'lasos mitzvah la'atzmo midaita. That a guy has no right to create a mitzvah, to be machadish dos, to institute a new mitzvah of his own. Like we'll say, today's a holiday. He has no right to do that. So it's interesting. Rashi says that a guy has no right. Rashi in Sanhedrin says that a guy has no right to take a day off from work. It's an interesting Rashi. So to make a holiday. So the question is, so why does a Jew have a right to take a day off? So the answer is because a Jew never has a day off. Because he gets up. As soon as he opens his eyes, he's chayav in brachas, and then he's chayav in tefillah, and then he's chayav in Talmud Torah. So apparently the Torah's philosophy is a day off is not a good thing. A person, every day of his life, should really be involved in either tikkun ha'olam, accomplishing something, tikkun ha'olam, or else if he's a Jew, so his chayav, his primary chayav is Talmud Torah. But the idea of a day off is not an idea that Yadis really looks very favorable at. But at any rate, the Rambam mentions that a guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos, he says, and he states further that the general principle is that he's not allowed to be machadesh dos, which means on his own to create any kind of religious ceremonies or rituals or holidays or anything of that sort. As a matter of fact, that really is the biggest difficulty, the greatest difficulty with the Bnei Noach. There are groups now that have accepted, they've abandoned Christianity, and they've accepted Yahadus insofar as what Yahadus, they want to know what Judaism demands of them, and they try, you know, to keep in line with what Yahadus prescribes for the non-Jew. But the greatest difficulty on an emotional level is, of course, the fact that they don't have any, what their idea of religion, they don't recognize in their system, because they're not allowed to have any rituals like marriage ceremonies or any kind of thing like that. And that's something which is, which is a very great difficulty for them, because they're used to the concept of religious ceremonies, and the halacha forbids them to be mechadesh dos. That's probably the biggest thing that stands in the way of the of that group really expanding on a, you know, just as a social phenomenon. But at any rate, the what the Rambam says is they cannot be Mechadish Das. The question, of course, of the Rambam is, what does Shabbos have to do with Chiddush Das? And maybe we'll get back to that. But at any rate, it is quite clear what the Rambam is saying is that a Goy has no right, a Ben Noach has no right to add a mitzvah. Now this presents again a problem over here with regard to this Rambam. Because here the Rambam states clearly that Avram Avinu received mitzvahs mila. Okay, so that God gave him a mitzvah, that's no problem. But he says that he was misakein tefillah shachris. That he instituted chakras, and Yitzchak instituted mincha. And then he states further that Yaakov created the mitzvah of Giran Asher. So this would seem to be a problem, because really the status, according to Moshe Rishonim, the status of the Avos until Sinai were really the status of Bnei Noach. So the question is, how could they add mitzvahs if we see there is an open violation for a Ben Noach to be Moses, to add any kind of a mitzvah, to be Mechadish Das? And the Rambam says that's why he's not allowed to keep Shabbos, because for him keeping Shabbos would involve Chiddush Das. I'll explain what that means just briefly, why according to the Rambam keeping Shabbos is in fact Chiddush Das. See, the idea of Shabbos is a very unique concept. And you see, Chazal tell us that when Moshe Rabbeinu received Shabbos, he came down to Klal Yisrael. He says, God said, Matana Tova Yeshni Beveis Gnosa. I have this wonderful treasure, and I'm giving it Lechem. Go tell Klal Yisrael that I'm about to give it to them. So why is Shabbos so unique, aside from the fact that its significance, of course, in terms of what it represents, it reflects the Yisoda Yisodos, of course, but aside from that, it is halachically different than any other mitzvah. Because in another mitzvah, if you take tefillin, for instance, so you have a substance, and you put the tefillin in the place where the mitzvah requires you to do so, and that is the mitzvah. But in Shabbos, you don't really do anything. Shabbos is abstention. So you're abstaining from malacha. So it's not a performance, it's an abstention. What makes the abstention a mitzvah? The fact that God determined that this day is metaphysically different. Metahalachically, it's a different phenomenon. God said it's Shabbos. Vayivarach Elokim Yom HaShviv Vayikadesh Oso. A lot of pshatim there. What I saw, Rabbi Avraham Ben Arambam says, plain, Vayikadesh Oso means that God determined that this day should be different. There's a new metahalachic reality that this day for us has a different substance to it. It's a different nature. So that's why when we abstain, so that activity is considered an activity of mitzvah. Now a Gentile can do a mitzvah, but he can't do the mitzvah if there is no reality of a mitzvah for him, then it's absurd for him to think he's doing a mitzvah. Now since Shabbos was given only to the Jews, lo nasato elokeinu l'olde el-ilim, which means to say that when God differentiated between Shabbos, Vayavorach Elokim es Yom HaShviv Vayakadosh Yoso, and he created the meta-halachic essence of Shabbos, he only gave that essence, that phenomena, to the Jewish people. So therefore, insofar as a Gentile is concerned, Shabbos is not Kodesh. There is no condition. So therefore, the Gentile's abstention could not be a mitzvah, because the abstention would be nonsensical. See, the abstention from malacha only makes sense if the day really has kedusha. So then it's considered, the abstention is considered a shvisa. It's even a positive mitzvah, because the concept of a privative in Yahadis means that if, for instance, that's why it says, why does it say that you should work? There's no mitzvah to work. Everybody knows you don't have to work. But what the Torah means is the nature of man is to work. So when you abstain, that is a positive type of a state for man. But that positive state of abstention, which is a mitzvah, only makes sense if there is in reality a kedusha of the day. But if there's no kedusha of the day, so then what you're doing is nothing. That's why the Rambam states that if a guy, if a Gentile, wants to keep other mitzvahs, that's fine. He wants to put on a mezuzah, fine, because there's such a thing as a mezuzah, and it's the same mezuzah for him, it has the same kedusha, it doesn't make any difference. When you give it to the guy, it's still the same mezuzah. But Shabbos is something which God gave only to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, the abstract, meta-halachic essence of Shabbos doesn't exist for the guy. So now it comes out he's just abstaining. So now he's introducing a new idea that doesn't exist. It's not a mitzvah anymore. So he's just doing his own thing, his own religious practice that he's not allowed to do. He can't add anything to the mitzvahs. That's why, according to the Rambam, basically, the abstention for a goy is really the Issa Shabbos. Rambam's the only one that I know that explains the Issa in this manner. He explains why can't a guy keep Shabbos. This is really a good kasha. Why shouldn't he be able to keep Shabbos? He also has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 7 days of Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos. The idea he has to accept, but he can't keep Shabbos because the Kedusha Shabbos was not given over to him as a meta halachic reality, only to Klal Yisrael. So at any rate, but it is clear nevertheless that the guy, the Ben Noach, has no right to be Mechadesh Das. I mean, that is clear. And over here, again, the problem would be in the Rambam and Perek Tes, that here the Rambam states clearly that Avraham was misakein a mitzvah, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Gidon Asher, and this would be against the halacha that a ben Noach is limited, and he's not entitled to create his own religious entities, mitzvahs, so things like that. Yeah. It's very interesting, but the Rambam, when the Rambam started, in the beginning of his works, he always had one pasuk. And that pasuk is B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. Very interesting. B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. It's from the pasuk Vayita Eshel Bever Shava, famous pasuk Vayita Eshel Bever Shava. And it's machlokus what it means. What is the Eshel? Was it a beautiful garden that Avraham Avinu created? And there he would introduce his guests to delicious foods? Or was it simply a type of a hotel, sort of, for people to stay with Avram, and then Avram Avinu would talk to them and discuss ideas and convince them about the existence of God? So it's machlokes. But the pasuk says, Vayikra Shom B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. And the Rambam used that pasuk, B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, as an introduction to practically everything that he wrote. It's an amazing thing. In our Rambam, in the beginning of the Yad HaChazaka, you won't see it. The printer took it out for some reason. I don't know what. But if you have the original, the Oxford edition, you'll see that it's there. And I believe that Kafach put it back. The one who did did he do all the Rambams in the, he did the entire, he put it back. B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. Now, B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, the idea, the concept of B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, really, what the concept means, the Rambam states that the Ramban quotes, I believe I get one of my comments, the Ramban quotes the Rambam, that the Rambam, excuse me, page what? Okay, the last paragraph. Now, the rabbi, that means the Rambam, said in the Mor Nevuchim that this alludes to the principle of the pre-existence of God. Since Abraham let it be known that God existed before the creation of time. Okay, that's the Ramban is quoting what the Rambam says. Vayikra Shom B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. So it means that God is the only existence that is true existence that always existed before the creation, and his existence predated time. That time itself is part of the creation, and God is outside the realm of time. In other words, basically what the Rambam is saying is that what Avraham Avinu taught the people was the true idea of God. Now it's very interesting that the Rambam uses that as an introduction for the Mora Nevuchim. I understand that it makes perfect sense, because the Mora Nevuchim is a book on philosophy and on the ideas of God and the unity of God, and he also explains how these ideas are expressed in the Nevi'im. It's a book of philosophy. But why did the Rambam use it, B'Shem Ad Hashem Kelol, and why did he use it as an introduction to the Yad HaChazak? That is strange, because basically the Yad HaChazak really is a sefer of Tayag Mitzvos, basically. And most of Tayag don't deal with the philosophy of the with the philosophy of B'Shem Ad Hashem Kelol. And mitzvahs, many, many mitzvahs and details, and halachas, and nezikin, and kachim, and all the various areas, and tells them all the various areas and all the details. Most and only the very beginning of the Rambam really deals, I would say, the first, the Hilchos Yisrei Torah should be B'Shem Hashem Kelam, but the rest doesn't seem to be applicable. The idea of B'Shem Hashem Kelam doesn't seem to be appropriate. Why did the Rambam use that expression? I believe what the Rambam, and in fact everything he wrote, he always thought of Hashem Ad Hashem Kelola. Because for the Rambam, Kol HaTorah Kula, the purpose of every mitzvah, was to reach the idea, the true idea of God. That was the purpose. That was the objective of everything. And the Rambam expresses this in the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam, in writing B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam in the beginning of the Yad HaChazakah, I believe was telling us something. And what he was telling us is that these mitzvahs that God created, that God constructed, these Tayag mitzvahs, which is really what, as I said, what the Yad HaChazakah is, because it starts with the Tayag mitzvahs, and then he shows how everything branches off from the Tayag. But really what the Rambam was telling us is that these entities, these mitzvos are vehicles of perfection that all lead to one objective, and that is Yedias Hashem, the knowledge of God. Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, the true knowledge of God. That's the purpose of every mitzvah. And every mitzvah is constructed in a way that it will lead a person, if a person knows the mitzvah, studies the mitzvah, does the mitzvah properly, this will lead him ultimately, if he continues on the path of the mitzvahs, it will lead him to that objective, to that knowledge, which is really the ultimate perfection of a human being. And that's why the Rambam says, what Avraham Avinu taught, B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, insofar as our mitzvahs are concerned, there's no difference between us being in Be'er Shava, at Avraham Avinu's table, and absorbing the perfection and the ideas that we would learn from Avraham Avinu, and doing mitzvos, which has the exact same objective. So that's why the Rambam has that, B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. What the Rambam was saying is something in the positive, but also something in the negative as well. Namely, that if you deviate from these mitzvos, or if you take these mitzvos and change them and distort them, or if you emphasize certain aspects or certain mitzvos that you like or you prefer, and other mitzvos which you don't like as much, you negate, then again what you're doing is you're moving away from the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. You see? These mitzvos, the way the Rambam wrote them in the Yad HaChazakah, which means the proper understanding of all the mitzvos, is not just a matter of doing them, keeping the Shulchan Aruch, but if you do this properly, this will lead you to Yedias Hashem. And if you don't do it properly, it will distort your vision of the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. If a person, for instance, doesn't like the idea of Zman Tefillah, so then there's something wrong. It means there's something wrong with that person's Yedias Hashem, his idea of God. There's something distorted there. You see. See, Avraham Avinu was misakin Tfilas Shachris. So apparently Avraham Avinu was misakin Tfilas Shachris, means it's a Zman of Shachris. If a person deviates from the mitzvahs, changes the mitzvahs in any way, just because of personal preference, it indicates a defect in Yediyas Hashem. The Shem Hashem Kel Olam is going to be distorted. I believe that's why the Rambam wrote the Yad HaChazaka, introduced with the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. So, in essence, what we're saying is as follows. That really, there are two, the Taryag Mitzvos have a double function, a double significance. They come under two frameworks. One framework is the framework of Yediyas Hashem. The other framework is really the Krisas Bris of Sinai, which means that Taryag Mitzvos were used as a vehicle of Krisas Bris, a covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's one aspect of Taryag, the Krisas Bris of Taryag. The second, but the other aspect of Taryag is really the concept that every one of these mitzvos is constructed precisely by God in a specific way with God's chachma to lead us to Yediyas Hashem. So what the Rambam held, what the Rambam was teaching us is simply that Taryag mitzvos come under two frameworks. One framework is the bris, the Krisas bris of Sinai, and the other framework is the framework of vehicles of perfection to reach ultimately to Yediyas Hashem. And I believe this answers the problem that we had with the Rambam. Because insofar as the Krisas Bris is concerned, in other words, why do we do the mitzvahs? We do the mitzvahs because of the Krisas Bris. That's why we do the mitzvahs. What obligates, what binds us to the mitzvahs? Sinai. Tayag mitzvahs memra lamosh mishina. But at the same time, every one of these mitzvos is a vehicle through which we gain perfection and draw nearer, closer to God through Yediyas Hashem, through knowledge. So what the Rambam is saying is, in Hilchos Melachim, you see, in Hilchos Evel, the Rambam is telling us, Nitna Tarva Nitzchat Shalacha, just like he says in Chulin, that why do we do get on Asher? Because of Sinai. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was in Stava B'Sinai that we must do Gidon Asher. We don't do Gidon Asher because of Yaakov Avinu. But at the same time, the Rambam is saying that every one of these mitzvos are methods of approaching God. And then, so far as they are methods of approaching God, that has a long history that began with Adam HaRishon. And Adam HaRishon received 6 commandments, and Noah was a 7th, and Avraham Avinu received an 8th, Milah, and then there was Tfilas Shachris, and Tfilas Mincha, and Tfilas Ma'ariv, and Gidon Asher, until Achebo Moshe and Nishlamo HaTorah Al Yoda. What the Rambam is saying is that these 613 work in unison, and there's a harmony among the 613. And this harmony leads a person to perfection and to Yediyas Hashem. Insofar as that harmony is concerned, insofar as the fact that each mitzvah is a vehicle of perfection, this began with Adam and really was a progression. But insofar as the Krisas Bris of the Taryag, that was something which was received at Sinai, and that moment of Sinai bound Klal Yisrael and obligated us in a Shmiras HaMitzvos. So really, what the Rambam is saying is that both these two aspects, or there are two aspects, two frameworks to the Taryag. Now it seems to me that the Rambam corroborates this concept when he talks about Avraham Avinu. If you take a look at the and maybe it's worthwhile just to go a little bit into the beginning of the Rambam in Halacha Gimel. Let's see, do we have the translation here? I think so. Where is it? Page 3. Oh, page 4 is the English? Right. That's right. He says, the Rambam says, when this mighty one grew up, it's interesting, he began to think hard. Even when young, he thought by day and night and wondered how it was possible for the universe to revolve without a driver to turn it. I'll get back to that. That's something which I will... in other words, the motions of the planets. For it was impossible for it to do so by itself. And now the Rambam goes on and says like this. He had no teacher or instruction in the matter. Okay? He says... This Chalashim Rambam... V'lo malamed v'lo modia davar. I hope you don't mind. I switch back to Hebrew. V'lo malamed v'lo modia davar. He didn't have anybody teach him or anyone to inform him. Elo mushka boor kastim bein ovde kachovim hatipshim. But he was sunken in or kastim. Culturally sunk in Ur Kasdim among the Chaldeans, Beinov de Kachov Matipshim, among the foolish people in that society, V'ovid the Imo, V'chol Ha'om, Ov de Kachov, and his father and his mother and the entire nation served idols. V'hu Ov Enimoyim, and he served the idols with them. V'libo Meshote to Maven, but his mind was agitated. And he began to understand Achahisig Derech HaEmes Ve'evin Kav HaTzedek Mitfunas HaNachona, until he reached a point where from his clear thinking he came to the correct idea. The Yada, and he knew Sheyeshom Elokai Echad, there is only one God, V'hu Maneg HaGalgal V'hu Barako, and he's responsible for the motions of the planets, and he created everything. Ve'ein B'chol HaNimtza Eloah Chutz Mimenu, and there is no other existence, no other God beside the fact that he was sunk in Ur, and he didn't have anybody teaching him, lo malamed, he didn't have a Rebbe, and he didn't have anyone to inform him of anything, and his parents all served idols. I mean, why does the Rambam, he discovered, like the Medrash says, he was thinking and he discovered God. But the Rambam made a point of saying that there was no one at all around to instruct him or to give him information. I mean, what is the significance of that? I think basically that is something which is a fundamental principle of Yahadis, and I think it explains why, like the Rambam says, we do Bris Milah because God commanded us at Sinai. But what did God command us at Sinai? To do Bris like Avram did. So the bris was really reinstated at Sinai. Why was it necessary to reinstate the bris Avraham? If you have the bris Sinai, you don't need a bigger bris than that. That is the greatest bris, and that's the obligating factor. So why did God see fit to reinstate the old bris of Avraham? And the milah is not just the mitzvah of milah, it's a bris. Because you say, l'achnisa b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu. So it seems that the answer is, the Bris Avraham, the reason why the Torah saw fit to reinstate the Bris Avraham is because we must never forget who Avraham Avinu was. We must have knowledge of his personality, what type of an individual he was. Because we have to have knowledge of what type of a person he was, and because, in my opinion, I believe the entire Torah, the entire Masorah depends on that concept. And I think the Rambam expresses that concept right here. Because the Rambam states that he didn't have any teacher, and he was completely absorbed in that society, and no one to inform him, and he alone, through his own intellectual curiosity and his honesty, an investigation came to the correct conclusion that there's only one God and that all the gods that these people believe in are false. Why is that so significant? I'll tell you. In history, you have machlokas among historians with regard to a great person. And the machlokas is menakotza wakotza, from one side to the other. One group of historians maintain that a great person is nothing more than an individual who has absorbed all the knowledge of the society. So those historians maintain, if you want to study a society, study the great people. Because they're the ones that lived in the society, and they've absorbed all the elements, the essential elements of the society. The other group of historians maintain that the great man theory of history is that great men create history. just the opposite. Yahadus has a very special shita. Yahadus maintains that it is true that great men exercise their bechira, but there's it differs from the great man theory in two respects. The great man theory maintains that great people come up with great ideas, but they're also bound to the society. And some of the influence of the society has to rub off on them, on their intellect, on their way of thinking. What Yahadus says, what the Rambam, and that I think is the significance of every word in the Rambam here, where the Rambam states that Avraham Avinu was mushka bor kasam. He didn't have anybody teach him, not a Rebbe or not anyone to inform him, and of his own he was able to come to the true idea of God, and there was no trace of influence of the society on his thinking, and his thinking was pure. And this, and the idea of God that Avraham Avinu discovered, is the idea of God that we say we have today. That's why we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why don't we say Elokei Moshe? Why don't we say Elokei Moshe? Because if we would say Elokei Moshe, the implication would be that Moshe had a different idea, you see. But that is not so. Moshe Rabbeinu through Nevuah had Yediyas Hashem on his own level. He was the Adon HaNeviim. But the God, the idea of God was the same Elokei Avraham. Avraham, excuse me? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Good question. Why say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yaakov? So the one of the Mepharshim says that, why do you say each one? Why don't you say Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? Because the others. So he says, because in Yahadus, it's not enough for a person to believe in God because his father teaches him the idea. If we would just say Elokei Avraham and not Elokei Yitzchak and not Elokei Yaakov, the implication would be that Avraham discovered the true idea and Yitzchak accepted it because Avraham taught him that idea. He says, and that wouldn't be correct. He says, Goyim, their religion follows, they accept what their parents accept. But in Yahadus, you have to investigate and have primary knowledge yourself. So Yitzchak believed in God. It's true he learned from Avraham, but he understood it himself. It was a Lekei Yitzchak. He understood and he investigated and he came to the conclusion in the same idea. And the same thing is true with Yaakov. That's why it's a Lekei Avraham, a Lekei Yitzchak, a Lekei Yaakov. But Elokei, if the Torah would say Elokei Moshe, the implication would be because all the Nisim happened by Moshe, oh, he had a different idea of God. That would be false. Avraham Avinu's idea of God is the same idea that we have that cannot be improved upon, and that is the ultimate concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person can have, every individual can have a different idea, Hashem, but not a different idea. So the what the Rambam teaches us is that even though an individual, and this I say, this is one of the ways that Yahadus differs from the great man theory of history, is that Yahadus maintains that a person, a human being, can have such intellectual honesty that no matter what society they are in, they could be completely free from the effects of the false ideas of that society. And the truth of the matter is, that's the only reason we have a true Masorah. And that's why the Rav said, Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, said that a person who's makrish magideo, a person who psychologizes one of the Balei HaMasorah, a person who will say that the reason why Rabbi Akiva passed in this and this way is because he was influenced by his society, and it was a self-serving kind of thing based upon certain psychological reasons. So the Rav said that is what the Ram says, makrish magideo, such a person is a kofer b'torah. Why is he a kofer b'torah? Because once you say that a person, human being, is not capable of the utmost honesty and scrutiny and truth, then you have no system anymore. You could say many people are not capable of that, but to say that no human being is capable of that would be a denial of the Masorah. And that really is the concept the Rambam introduces, the Balei HaMasorah from Moshe Rabbeinu until the end of the Shas, It means these individuals were people who were capable of seeing the truth, living with the truth, and in spite of all these psychological and societal forces, they maintain the truth in its pure form, and that's why we have Torah today. And that really is the sort of Avraham Avinu. That's why the Rambam mentions that, and in my opinion, that's why Yahadus saw fit to reinstate the Bris Avraham, the personality of Avraham, who was the individual that came to the true conclusion on his own and remained uninfluenced by his society. That idea is the Yisod from Avraham straight to the Torah that we have today. So the Rambam then continues, and he states the following. He says that he goes through the whole history, and then towards the end, I want to get to that last point where he says like this. He says, "Ukimaat kot hoyo ha'ikar sheshosel Avraham neka." He says first he discusses Yaakov Avinu and the Shiftei Kah. And then he says, but then after a lengthy time in Egypt, they began to learn from the Egyptians. The Jews began to learn from the Egyptians. And besides the Shevet of Levi, the entire Klal Yisrael was engaged in the worship of idolatry. So he says, and in a little more time, almost, the Iker, the fundamental principle of Avraham, the true idea of God, was almost uprooted. V'chozen b'nei Yaakov litos olam v'ti yuson. And the b'nei Yaakov would ultimately, if there wasn't the intervention of God, they would have made the same error, and they would have strayed as well. U'me'avas Hashem osono, because God loved us, because he kept the shvur that he made to Avraham Avinu, Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shekol Avim v'Shilcho, he sent Moshe, Kivan Shenisnabe Moshe Rabbeinu Boch Hashem Yisrael L'Nachala, he says the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nisnabe, and Hashem chose Klal Yisrael for Nachala, Hichtiram B'mitzvos, he gave them the mitzvos, Tayag, and then he says, V'odiyin Derech Avodoso, and he taught them the way of worship. It's an interesting Rambam, that last line. Essentially, what is the Rambam saying? That the Derech of Avraham was reinstated. Through what? Through Tayag Mitzvos. Which means to say that the function of Tayag is the same thing, the same function of Avraham Avinu. And the role of Tayag was to bring us back to the idea of Vayikra Sham, B'Shem Arashem, Kel Olam, the same ideas that Avraham Avinu taught in Be'er Sheva. So here you see confirmation to our principle that the Tayag Mitzvos are developmental in that sense, in the sense that they all work in harmony and unison towards the one goal. In that sense, they're developmental. But as a bris, as a krisis bris, that they're separate, and that's Tayag. And we're bound by the mitzvahs because of the bris, because of the krisis bris. It's an interesting thing. Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, he taught two things. The purpose of the Torah, chtirum b'mitzvahs, was odin derech avodaso, how to worship God, which is the derech Avraham, u'ma yish'iyam mishpat avodas kochom l'chol atom achara. And what is the judgment of the idolaters and all those who mistakenly follow them? What is the Rambam teaching over here? Apparently, what the Rambam is saying is that it's not enough to know the Derech Hashem. You have to also understand what is the wrong Derech and what is the Derech the Mishpat Avodas Kachom Mechol Atom Acharein. That's a principle which the Rambam expounds on more in the Mor Nevuchim. And he shows the two in Yahadus, really, when a person really has a deeper understanding of Yahadus, two paths emerge. The path of Avodas Hashem is one path, and the Derech Avodas Zorah is another path. The Rambam over here mentions just briefly that the purpose of the Chiyum HaMitzvahs is to show them the positive and the negative. It's Eitz Hadas Tov HaRoh, Yahadus maintains you cannot know Tov unless you study Roh as well. That's a principle in Yahadus. I think that's that's something which most of the world, I mean, in our generation, we seems to neglect, especially with regard to the phenomenon of the Holocaust, where many people, even some righteous Gentiles, you know, are involved in memorializing the Rahman Aslan, the Holocaust should never happen again. But no one really is studying the Holocaust, studying evil, to understand what the mind of the Nazi was, to study what Rishus is, to know it and to recognize it. You say never again is not enough. You have to understand. The Yahadist teaches that you have to understand Tov, and if you don't understand Ra, you don't understand Tov. You have to study evil. That's one thing the Yahadist teaches us. That knowledge must permeate every aspect of human existence. And there's no place that should be devoid of knowledge. And if you want to remove evil, you have to understand evil. You have to study it. You have to be able to recognize it and understand what type of individuals these were, so that you could recognize them in the future. As long as there's no real effort being made in pursuing knowledge and understanding what Rishus is, what evil is, what the Nazi mentality was, then there's very little hope by just saying never again that you're going to ensure that this doesn't recur. At any rate, that's the principle of Yahadis, that you have to know both sides. You have to know Tov, you have to know Ra, you have to know the Derech Hashem, and you have to recognize what the Derech HaBaris Kochavim is as well. The Derech of Avram, what was the Derech of Avram? If you take a look at the Derech of Avram, so the first and foremost thing in the Derech of Avram was really, if you take a look at that Rambam again, the Rambam, where the Rambam states that Avram Avinu started to think, and he was wondering about the motions of the planets, planetary motion, and then he says that the Yeda sheyesho malaka echad v'hu manig agalgal v'hu bora akol v'ein b'chol anintza lakachos mimeno. Now let's take a look at the very beginning of the Rambam, and I think you'll see that the Rambam basically corroborates or expands a little bit on that idea. Okay. The Ram states, that's on page, or the page 5, right? Of the notes. The Ram says like this. Ram states as follows. This is what I wanted to get into a little bit, because there's really two things. What Avram Avinu accomplished, Avram Avinu's philosophy involved two areas. One is this area, Yediyas Hashem, knowledge of the true idea of God. That's one. That's Yisodei Yisodos. But there was something else he taught as well. And that is what the Rambam mentions in Hilchos Deos. And that is the Mahu Afato, to emulate God, imitatio Deo. And I'd like to get into that as well. Those are two things. See, Chazal say that there was no one in the world that called God Adon before Avram Avinu. Avram said, Adoshim Melokim Matitun. He's the first one to call God Adon. So the question, of course, what do you mean? Adam Arishon couldn't have an idea of God as Adon? But what is meant over there is, an Adon is someone that is, you don't simply recognize the existence of the master of the Adon, but the Adon is causative in terms of your behavior. You behave in a certain way because of the other. And that's really what Chazal is saying, that Avram Avinu had a whole different philosophy, that from God he learned how to act. And that is the Ma'afata. So there really are two things, two aspects to Avram Avinu's philosophy. One was a philosophical aspect, Yediyas Hashem, and that you have shame as well, You see, you say, for instance, on Friday, I say, Konish Mayim Arts, which is really from Shane. That idea, that aspect, Shame had as well. But the first one to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon was really Avram, which was the Mahu Afata, that Avram derived from his knowledge of God how to live personally his own life. That is a different level. That level, I believe, it was only possible through Nevuah. I don't think it's possible without Nevuah. But we'll get to that soon, hopefully. Let me just start with the first aspect of this philosophy. So the Rambam states, Yesoda Yesodos V'Omor HaChochmos Leida SheYesham Motzei Rishon. Right, so the Rambam says the fundamental of all fundamentals, fine. But then he says more. He says V'Omor HaChochmos and the pillar of knowledge Leida SheYesham Motzei Rishon. To know that there is an existence, a primary existence, Vahu Mamtzi Ko, and do you have a translation for this? Okay. You see, I would differ a little bit with this translation. It says, there's a primary being who brought into being all existence. It says, Vahu Mamtzi Ko Nimtza. Okay. Vahu Mamtzi Ko Nimtza. In my opinion, I don't think the Rambam over here is referring to creation. I'll tell you why I don't think so. But basically what the Rambam is saying at this point is that the Yesoda Yesodos and the Amar HaChachmas, the pillar of all knowledge, is to know that there is a primary existence that is responsible for everything that exists. Okay? What the Rambam means over here, now why does he say, I understand he says that it's the foundation of foundations. Okay, that we understand. But why does he say it is also the pillar of knowledge? What does that have to do with knowledge? Because the Rambam maintains that all knowledge is only possible if one assumes that God, who is the source of all Chochmah, is the primary existence. So therefore, everything that we see follows his pattern of Chachma. But if you should deny that, so then when you have a scientific question, you say, why don't things work out logically? I could say, well, who says they have to? Okay. So the scientific belief in knowledge would be reduced to just a notion or a guess. Maybe it works out. But the Rambam is saying that it's Yesoda Yesodos V'Omor HaChochmos and the pillar of knowledge, which means to say that if you deny the existence, the primary existence of God, the source of all knowledge in Chochmah, and the concept that everything that exists has to follow Chochmah because he is the source, so then you lost your whole basis for knowledge. And if you see something that doesn't work out, so you can say, well, look, maybe it doesn't follow knowledge. There's no reason to investigate this. There is no problem. So every scientist will tell you that he's imbued with the idea that there must be an order to things. But where does that idea come from? The Rambam is saying that that's the Yesoda Yesodos and Omor HaChochmos. That in our system, the foundation is the knowledge of God as God's primary existence, and therefore everything that exists, he is Mamtzi Kol Nimtza, he's the source of everything that exists, and everything that exists has to exist being permeated with his knowledge. Marabba Masechad Hashem Kulam B'Chochmas Yisrael. That's why the Rambam says Omer HaChochmas. It's an interesting thing. The Rambam uses the same term with regard to Avram Avinu, because he says about Avram Avinu in the Rambam we just had before, the Rambam on the Avos Kachovim, Menuchas Avos. You got it? Yeah. He says, Val derech zeh hoya ha'olam ho'lechem zgagel v'yendav halacha beis. The world was going on this path, meaning to say, without the knowledge of God, Ad Shenolad Amudo Shel Olam, Hu Avram Avinu. Why does it say Avraham is Amudo Shel Olam, the pillar of the world? A strange expression for a human being, Amudo Shel Olam. But what he means is that he was the one that discovered the Amar HaChachmos, the pillar of all knowledge, which is God. So therefore, Avraham Avinu's discovery was really the pillar upon which all of knowledge is built. So that's the Rambam called Amudo Shel Olam. So basically the concept, the idea of pursuing knowledge and that the universe lends itself to knowledge is the idea of Avraham Avinu, of Yisoda Yisodos V'Amor HaChachmos. Now the Rambam goes on and says like this, V'chol anim tzoim mishamayim uva'aretz u'mashe b'ineihem lo nimtzu elo me'amitas im himatzo. That everything that exists only exists because of God's existence. And he says, and the negative, then yalal adas yu'ena matzu, if one should entertain the thought that God does not exist, ein davracha yachali matzu, then he must also entertain the idea that nothing exists. Then yalal adas she'ein kol nimtzo mo'vada mitzuyim, hu levada yir matzu. And even if you should entertain the idea that everything in the physical world does not exist, God's existence will still remain. V'lo yevatel hu levitulam, she'kol nimtzo nitzrichum lo, v'hu baruch hu ein atzarach lahem, v'lo lechem man lefi chayinem mitas chamidas lechemem. Basically, what the Rambam is saying is that that God's reality, his existence, is of a different type than the existence of the universe. But it's interesting. Why did he have to say, V'chol ha'nimtzon mishamayim uva'aretz u'mashe b'neihem? Why was it necessary for him to enumerate? Everything that's found in the heavens and the earth and everything that's in between is only because of God. Why did the Rambam have to elaborate so much? He said already before, V'hu mamtzi kol nimtzo. He's the source of everything that exists. I think with this we can answer the question that I believe disturbs many people. You see, to take a look further in the Rambam says in Halacha Hey, he says, "Amotzu yazeh hu Elokei ha'olam adon kol ha'aretz, v'hu amaneg ha'galgal b'koach she'ein lo keis v'sachlis b'koach she'ein lo hefsek, she'agagal soveit tamid v'yef she'yisov b'lo mesabeh, v'hu baruch ha'am mesabeh v'sov b'lo yad v'lo gur." I think many people were turned off to the Rambam because of this statement. Because the Rambam's referring to planetary motion. And planetary motion, at one time, before Galileo, so it was a mystery. But after Galileo and Newton, it is not a mystery, and the idea of inertia, which is a scientifically explains the motion of the planets. And the motion of the planets, when one understands, there's no difference than any motion that happens on this earth, an apple falling off a tree, based on the same exact principle of why we are standing on the floor here. Same exact principle. But I believe that the question is, the Rambam's proof of planetary motion was it was an Aristotelian idea. But science has advanced since then. So the question is, does that make any difference insofar as what the Rambam is talking about? My opinion, the Rambam is not teaching us physics. What the Rambam is teaching us is Torah. But every person has to avail themselves of the knowledge and of the examples, of the scientific examples that he finds at the time that he lives in. The concept that the Rambam is mentioning is, it's not a matter of planetary motion. The concept is that the universe can never be self-explanatory. That is the principle of Yahadus. That the universe can never be self-explanatory. In other words, no matter how far science advances, they will never be able to have a universe that explains itself without God. There will always be something that is missing. Now, it's an interesting thing, but today it's not the planetary, not the motions of the planets, but once the discovery was made by Hubble, with the astronomical discoveries were made that the galaxies are moving apart, it became clear that there was a point of creation. But that was something which the Rambam could not have known. But Yahadus does not teach physics. At Sinai, we didn't receive physics. Physics was a mandate given to Adam HaRishon, the Kivshua, to study nature. By Yikra Adam Shemos, he started to pursue the knowledge of biology and every other science that he could, and that's a developmental process. But the principles of Torah, that is Yahadis. That was given at Sinai. And what the Rambam is stating, the Rambam, of course, is taking an example from his time, that the planetary, the motions of the planets are not self-explanatory. But then when you're going to explain that, you're going to go into another, you'll move up to something else. And today, in today's scientific world, it's the expansion of the universe which shows that there was a point of origin. But whatever the generation, whatever the science, what Yahadis teaches man is that a person in studying the universe will never reach a point that the universe is self-explanatory. That is the idea that the Torah teaches. And that is the mitzvah. See, that's what the Rambam says. Knowing this is the mitzvah, Anochi Ad Hashem Elokecha. Now, it's interesting. Why did the Rambam say that he mentions, I asked before, why did he say the heavens and the earth, he mentions all these things. Why? He said already everything that exists. I believe what the Rambam is teaching us is that Yahadis demands that we study the universe. Yahadis demands that we recognize God from the fact that the universe is not self-explanatory. Now, in every generation, this is going to be at a different point. But the same conclusion will always be arrived at. And what the Rambam is teaching us is that this is significant for man to engage himself in. Man must engage himself in the knowledge, pursuit of knowledge in, of the universe. Hashemayim esaprim kvod keil. And we say in Atfilis, Hamei Elorot, Morab Masechet Hashem, Kulam B'chach Masiso, and in Tfilas Arvis, B'chach Mo Paseich Sharm, V'svuno, Mishana Itim, Machet Zazmanim, Yahadis demands that a person pursues knowledge of the universe and to see God from the universe. Why is that significant? I believe it's significant for two reasons. First of all, Morab Masechet Hashem, it gives man an opportunity to become closer to his creator through Chachma, which is the Tzelem Elokim. But also, it gives an individual, gives a human being, the knowledge of God. In other words, the idea of God registers mentally in the component of his mind that has to do with knowledge. And that's why the Rambam says, Leidafi Yeshom Elokam Motzer. Because the mitzvah is not simply to have a hollow belief, like the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, people that just believe in God out of hollow emotions but don't really have any knowledge, he says they are not on the level of people who see Chochmas Hashem, that a person who through knowledge sees God, it's a different perception. It's a different kind of perception. The mitzvah, Leida Sheyesham Alakam Motzu, means that Yahadis demands, that's the first mitzvah, Leda, that the idea of God should register on that part of our makeup that pursues Chachma. That's the mitzvah. It's not enough for a person to just say he believes in God, but it must be a reality to him. It must register as something of reality, just like the world of Chachma that he pursues. And that's why the Rambam maintains that the mitzvah is to pursue a knowledge of God through a knowledge of the universe, whatever is b'shamayim u'v'aretz in the entire universe. A person must pursue knowledge with regard to the universe so that his idea of God is one that registers on the part of his mind that is engaged in knowledge. That is the mitzvah. That's the Leda. Now the Rambam continues, I just want to take one more point. I mentioned I'd say Yichud Hashem. The Rambam explains that this idea of God, the source of all that exists, he says, is a source which is infinite. And that's in Hay, in Halacha Hay. Hamotzu Yazehu Elokei Olam Adon Kol Oretz. He says, and then he says, he's the source of, well, planetary motion, yeah, but that was the In the Rambam's time, he says, "Behu baruch himself below yada below guf." He says, in other words, like this: that God is not physical, and that He is the infinite source of all existence. Now it's interesting. Take a look at Halacha Zayin. He says, "Eloka zeh echadu." He is one, and eino shnayim below yosar shnayim. He's not two or more than two. And then he goes into what this oneness means. Okay, he says he's not, it doesn't mean he's one like a physical object that can always be broken up into components. That's subject to quantification, quantity. And he says, and he's not one like a concept that's not subject to quantity, but it's something which is an idea that emerges from the physical world. Like a triangle. It's not that kind of oneness either. But he says like this. He continues, he says that God does not have any of the properties of physical beings. He says, Ilu hoya yotzer gufu gviya, if God were physical, hoya lo keitz v'tachlis. So then it would mean that he's finite. Shiyef shel yos guf shein lo keitz. Because the physical is always finite. So God, if one were to believe that God were physical, he would be saying that God is finite. And God's oneness demands, the idea of God's oneness demands that he's infinite and he's not physical. Now the question is like this. The question is that he already mentioned that before. Because the Rambam in Hay, where he said that he's infinite. He says that he ain locates for tachlis. So in the very idea of God, you have the idea of the infinite. In other words, if a person would believe in God, but he wouldn't believe in God being infinite, that would not be the right idea of God. That's not our idea of God. Our idea of God is infinite. So the question is, how could the Rambam, when the Rambam says God is one, so he says that he cannot be physical. Physical would mean he's not one. And why can't he be physical? Because he's infinite. So he's repeating the same idea that we had before. So the question is that once I know before, in other words, that God is the source of all existence, he is not physical, he is infinite, don't I also know that he's one? It would seem that all the information in the Rambam, in other words, if I were to deny God's oneness, that would be denying the very idea of God that we started out with. In other words, let's say you would say that God is two. So the Rambam says that would mean that God has to be physical. Because two, you can't have two concepts of a triangle. There's only one triangle. The physical, in order to have two triangles, you need two physical objects. So if you're going to say you have one idea of God, but there are two of them, then you're going to have to say they're physical. Okay? So the Rambam is showing you that the idea of God's oneness would imply corporeality, it's physical. Okay, so why is that a separate thing? That's already stated. Moreover, if you're going to have a distortion of the idea of God, that's not God anymore. In other words, the person would think that God is physical, so then that's not the idea that's not the Yesoda Yesodos, that's not the idea of God, that's not the idea of Avram or Avram we discovered, that's not the idea of Yahadus, and obviously he's missing the first mitzvah. So how could the Rambam break it down to two mitzvahs? One mitzvah is the idea of God's existence, which means when we say God's existence, it doesn't just mean nothing, an unknown. It means that God is not physical, he's infinite, and that he is the source of all existence, the true idea of God. Now, we're in oneness. What are you adding by saying he's one? You're saying he's one because of the same things you told me in the idea of God. So, what are you adding? And how could it be two mitzvahs? That's the question I'd like to resolve. I think that the answer to this question is a fundamental principle, and it's one which differentiates us, Yahadus, from the rest of the world. I mean the rest of the world insofar as those people in the rest of the world that have a true idea of God. Because we maintain that a person can have a true idea of God, even though he's not a Yisrael. I mean, after all, Avram Avinu was before Matan Torah, and he arrived at the true idea of God. Of course, there aren't many Avraham Avinu, but it certainly is possible for a human being to do it, for other people to have the true idea, for other people to learn from us what the true idea of God is. But it's an interesting thing. With regard to Klal Yisrael, we pride ourselves with one thing. We say we are involved not simply in the knowledge of God, but in Yichud Hashem. And it comes up all over. And you say in Tachna. Then you say in Shacharis, Hamayachadim Shimo, Tomah Paim, Bechol Yom, Tomid, Yom Shema Yisrael. We pride ourselves. It constantly reappears. All of that. We take pride in Yichud Hashem. So what is Yichud Hashem? What is additional in Yichud Hashem? It's hard to understand what's additional when you study the Rambam, because like I said, all the things in Yichud are the same things you mentioned before. So what is additional, and why do we pride ourselves with the fact that we are Miyached Hashem? What does that mean? I believe the answer is that there are two kinds of knowledge. A person can have a knowledge of something in a secondary fashion, and a person can have a knowledge of something because they mentally concentrate on it. Okay? Like, for instance, Albert Einstein, through the study of nature, was convinced about the existence of God. So he was a person that arrived at the concept of God, the true idea of God, through studying the universe. And he definitely had that mitzvah. There's no question about it. But I don't know. You see, I never interviewed him, so I don't know. But it is possible that if you would ask a person who believes in God, and you would confront this person and say, can you prove to me that this God that you believe in is one? In other words, that he's not subject to quantity, that he can only be one, there can't be any other. Could you prove that? He might have to think about it. He might say, that's something that requires some thought. You see? And after thinking about it, he would, if he's intelligent, he would be able to explain why it has to be that way. But it doesn't necessarily mean because he believes in God that he really put thought into God. It means to say he accepted, he sees that God exists, and that's it. But Yichud Hashem, see, the Rambam says, Yediyas Dover Zem Mitzvah Saseh. In the end of the Rambam, Yichud Hashem, he says, the Yediyas Dover Zem Mitzvah Saseh Shenemar Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yediyas Dover Zem means you have to know this. You have to know what the Rambam is explaining. In other words, it's not enough for a person to know that God exists, but a person has to also study the idea and see why, from the proper idea of God, God's oneness emerges. But if a person only accepted God and didn't go any further, you see, then he would not be Mekayim the second mitzvah. So it's not that Yichud Hashem contains in it anything different, so to speak, than the first mitzvah of knowledge of God, because there's only one proper idea, and if you change that idea, that is not the idea of God. But it means to say that a person must investigate even further Yichud Hashem. And that's really what we say. Because the Navi says that many nations believe in God. Milo Yerocha Melech HaGayim. So why is Klal Yisrael different? Because say Klal Yisrael is not, it's not enough to accept God and to even have a proper idea of God. But we must be Miyached Hashem, which means we pursue those ideas. And that's why we have the Gimli Koran, and we study the Gimli Koran, and we try as much as we can to refine our knowledge and our Yediyas Hashem, and that is the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, that is our heritage, and that is our Mesorah. So it's obligatory on every individual not to stop with the first. That's the idea of Yichud Hashem, as far as the Rambam is concerned, is really the pursuit of the knowledge, the metaphysical knowledge of God. That's Yichud Hashem really is metaphysics. It means not to be satisfied just with the idea of God or the notion, even if it's the proper notion, but to pursue it, and to pursue Yediyas Hashem is insofar as every individual is capable. As David HaMelech said to Shlomo, the instruction he gave to Shlomo was Da es Elokei Ovicho V'Ovdehu. So Chazal said, what did he tell Shlomo? Do'ehu, know God, va'ach akach avdehu, and then you'll be able to serve him properly. So Yahadus really is rooted in the concept that everything revolves around Yediyas Hashem, all the mitzvahs, as the Rambam says, and the first mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem isn't enough, but you must also have Yichud Hashem, which is the continued direct pursuit of the knowledge and understanding of God insofar as every individual is capable of on their level. And that is the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, and that really is the essence of the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yichud Hashem serves as a reinforcement of the first or the third ikar, and therefore...
The third ikar?
Yeah. Which is one on incorporeality, or it is standalone. In other words, you're saying, what I hear you saying essentially is that it serves to reinforce the Yediyas Hashem, the person's investigation should not cease, just that the recognition of Amidas HaBorei, but try to analyze to the best of our ability.
Right, correct.
In essence, it's a reinforcement.
Well, the thing is, in other words, let me give you an example.
Reinforcement stands by itself.
Yichud Hashem.
Yes.
See, Yichud Hashem can't stand by itself because it's always going to fall back on your on the proper idea of the Creator. It's always going to... that. But Yichud Hashem means that you take the trouble to understand why God is one, and therefore your ideas of the Creator become a part of your chokhmah and your knowledge, and not that you just have an idea of the Creator and that's it. You see, it's a further pursuit. For instance, the Rambam says further. The Rambam says when God knows something, it is not like a human being knows something. Like he says, we look at things outside of ourselves. God doesn't look outside of himself, because that would mean that he and his knowledge are two, and he's one. But okay, it's a more abstract metaphysical idea. You have to it's a deeper idea. I can't go into that right now. But the point is, what the Rambam is saying is that all those ideas, depending on the individual and the individual's capability, the person is responsible and is obligated to pursue those ideas, so that he understands. At least the person should know that the way we know things is not the way God knows things. That's what the Rambam says the Rambam says that our knowledge, the question of how does God know what an individual is going to do, when an individual has free will and there's no causality and all knowledge is based on causality. The Rambam says because God's knowledge is not the same type as our system of knowledge is based on causality, but God's is not. Causality is an instrument, mathematics. We use mathematics to understand the universe. Does God use mathematics to understand the universe? Plato said that God is a mathematician, but Yahadus does not maintain that does not maintain that. So mathematics is a tool that we use as human beings to penetrate reality, but God does not use it. God's knowledge is totally different. It is anything that we, the basic fundamental is, as the Rambam says in the Gemara, is negative knowledge. In other words, that a person should be careful to realize that he should not project onto the Creator things that are human traits and are not appropriate to apply to the concept of the Creator. That's the basic fundamental yisod. But what the Rambam is saying in Yichud Hashem is that even though it's based on the proper idea of the Creator, but it requires a direct analysis and a direct understanding.